Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
All right, Mexicans, here comes Marco Rubio.
We'll get into that later. But we have to talk about the breaking story that happened today. A huge, huge blow that happened today to the Obama administration and what it means for the investigation into Benghazi.
A huge blow, pardon the pun, after you hear the story.
Well, we don't know if that actually took place.
Well, I'm sure that it did.
2 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on November the 9th, 2012.
And if it didn't happen, poor schlup he was.
Yeah, let's just say that it did. But let's look at it on a grand scheme of things. The director of the CIA, General Petraeus, has resigned today due to a scandal that happened with the person who wrote his biography, a woman by the name of Paula Broadwell. She wrote his book. I guess it's called The Education of David Petraeus. I'm paraphrasing here what the title was. I never read it. But General Petraeus apparently yesterday went into the White House telling the President of the United States that he needed to resign because of an extramarital affair. An extramarital affair with Paula Broadwell, his biographer. He says, quote, "After being married for over 37 years, I showed extremely poor judgment by engaging in an extramarital affair. Such behavior is unacceptable, both as a husband and as the leader of an organization such as ours."
Of an orgy.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Michael Morrell, who is now the acting director, was under him. In fact, there's a picture of her right there. That's Paula Broadwell. Paula Broadwell lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. So far, the news has gotten a profile of her. Paula Broadwell is married with two children, an avid runner. She probably has a Shih Tzu, a Portuguese water dog.
This reminds me of the movie we just watched.
What movie was that?
Remember the movie where she's an avid runner? What movie was it? The movie you said you didn't really care for? What with Adam Sandler? What movie is it? With the Mexican maid?
Spanglish.
Spanglish.
Yes.
And is that him on the left?
That's Petraeus on the left.
What was she doing having an affair with him? Like, he's not an attractive man.
Yes, but he's a distinguished man. He's a former general. He's the CIA director. You know, she follows that sort of world. And somebody like him would be attractive to somebody like her. She really follows it. She's not interested in his look. She's interested in his power.
Well, maybe she should have married a man with power and she wouldn't have been cheating on her husband.
This may be true.
Skank-a-dank whore.
Well, she might be. We don't know.
She is a skank-a-dank whore.
If the affair is indeed true.
You cheated on your husband and you have two kids. You're just as much of a whore as he is. He cheated on his wife. I don't know how many kids he's got.
He's got two kids.
They're
grown, though.
Maybe all your kids can get together and and talk about their woes.
I'm sure that her children are a lot younger.
Or talk about what sluts their parents are.
Whatever.
A disgrace.
There's a bigger story here, Mary.
Not as a married woman, there's not a bigger story.
Fair enough.
That is the bigger story.
I'll let you go on to that to talk about you. Do you want to talk about how scathing this is?
Did he call her his little slut muffin?
Nonetheless, General Petraeus has resigned. Now, as much as people want to or don't want to speculate on this story, let me do that for you. I hate speculating, folks. I like honest and clear analysis. And let me give it to you, ladies and gentlemen. On Thursday, a week from yesterday, right? On Thursday, some 5-6 days from now, General Petraeus was to testify to the committee about what took place in Benghazi. What many people do not know and are not paying attention to was that along with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, along with the President of the United States, along with UN Ambassador Suzanne Rice, General Petraeus also went to the Congressional Committee on Oversight and said, quote, that this attack on the consulate in Benghazi was a result of a YouTube video. This is the director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Okay. So we all really know why he's resigning. It just so happens that his ass was having an affair, too.
No.
Maybe he didn't have an affair. Okay, whatever. But if your ass is resigning, along with the possibility of a resignation from Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton, and Leon Panetta, the president should be going with your asses.
Well, here's where it gets even more complicated. Now, it turns out that this became public, or this was found out. And I don't want to say public. This became a part of the intelligence community through an investigation by the FBI. Now, the FBI was doing an investigation on General Petraeus. And by scouring through his emails, found emails between he, General Petraeus, and Paula Broadwell. They were wondering whether or not intelligence had been compromised through this affair, as they realized, you know, that was going on. Who is this Paula Broadwell person? Why is he having these emails with her? This woman's clearly not his wife. Has he been compromised? Further investigation proved that that indeed was not taking place. But here's where it gets sketchy. Why was the Federal Bureau of Investigations investigating a CIA director? And for what reason? What were the gains? What were they hoping to glean from that investigation? Well, I'll tell you what I think the FBI was doing. The FBI, which doesn't give a damn who the administration is. They don't work for the administration. They were trying to find out whether or not General Petraeus knew anything about what happened in Benghazi. And this ended up in the fold. Now, there's something that I want people to remember here. I want you to remember something very important here. When Bill Clinton was caught through the Kenneth Starr investigations, when it was found out that he was having an extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky, most people said that the impeachment proceedings that soon followed were unnecessary because it was an extramarital affair. We're talking about the commander-in-chief having an extramarital affair inside the Oval Office.
With an intern.
With an intern. A subordinate. But yet people thought that that was not worth a Kenneth Starr investigation and that Congress in no way should have been seeking an impeachment of the President of the United States. But But yet, General Petraeus' indiscretions are found out, and it leads to a resignation under a democratic regime? Something seems fishy. So let me tell you what it is that I think happened.
Let me clear my throat.
General Petraeus was going to be a fall guy in all of this, but he was definitely going to be a man of honor. During these congressional hearings that were going to take place on Thursday, he was going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And when he was asked, who told you to tell the American people that the Benghazi attack was a result of a YouTube video, he would implicate the White House. Would it be directly the President of the United States? Would it be his staff? Would it be a higher up? Would it be a David Axelrod, a Stephanie Cutter, a Jay Carney? It's quite possible. But when that possibility was coming, and everybody knew it was coming, the FBI goes into this investigation where they find out that he's having an affair, and they tell him, get to Stephen. Now, what happens when General Petraeus becomes a private citizen? Take a wild guess. Headline on Drudge Report. Petraeus will no longer testify at the hearing because Congress can't call him. He's a private citizen.
But he wasn't a private citizen at the time that the
Doesn't matter. He's already off the list. The only way that he can testify now, that Congress has to subpoena him. That's the only
him.
What's that, JC? What did he say?
I don't know.
What did you say?
No, I was going to say this is all in an attempt by on an attempt to cover up to this conspiracy about the presidency. I mean, not exactly a conspiracy, but just to cover his ass, period. To shun his responsibilities for taking responsibility for Benghazi and everything that's going on over there.
Going to come out, they were told to say that this was a tape by a YouTube guy. They're going to be forced to reveal that someone told them, and General Petraeus, the director of the CIA, who apparently knew through intelligence that this wasn't, that it could not have been, that this was a scaled attack, a premeditated attack on a U.S. consulate, that everyone was going to have to duck.
So let me ask you this. Why is it that this administration so fears calling this a terrorist attack when I don't think many Americans would care? Because they've already shown that they don't care. Not that they don't care, but it's not getting that much burn in the media. But
because they come out and say we knew the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from the beginning, then you lied to the American people and swindled people. There would be no question for impeachment.
Well,
and every Republican on the face of this earth would be all over it. And Donald Trump would probably be heading up the crowd.
let me tell you why the relevance.
Well, I mean, as I was saying, although it has never been declared a terrorist attack, because this administration will not allow that term to be entangled with what went on over in Benghazi, it's not like the American people would really pay attention to it because it's nothing that really happened here on American soil.
Well, JC, here's what the deal is. It's very simple. We are talking about an administration who on CBS, right? If you go to CBS right now, if you look up this story, and it's CBS releases edited version of their 60-minute interview on September 12th with
right.
President Obama, Steve Croft begins his question by saying, you have been reluctant to use the word terrorist attack in the Benghazi situation. And President Obama says, uh-huh. Now, President Obama has taken the word terrorism or has done everything to take the word terrorism out of the lexicon. Case in point. Case in point. The president now refers to terrorist attacks as man-made disasters. That's their definition of September 11th of 2001, a man-made disaster. That's their definition of terrorism. The Fort Hood shooting, even though the shooter is screaming, Hassan is screaming, Allahu Akbar, he killed 13 people and injured dozens others.
They still didn't call
they
that.
They said it was a workplace violent episode. It was workplace violent. So think about it.
My feeling is,
go ahead.
I don't think my feeling is that because he pulled out of Iraq as soon as he did, and basically pretty much calling the war on terror, not so much over, but though he scaled down on it so much, it's like he's trying to hide from the American people that this is still that it can't be as big of a threat as it once was.
Well, there's my other point. We're talking about during a political campaign of the president who used terms like GM is alive, Osama bin Laden is dead. On the stump speech, Al-Qaeda is being dwindled down and they're running and scared.
Like no one ever could take the place or was ever just as sick and crazy as Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Basically, you know, Barack Obama and the current, you know, cabinet have killed God because
right.
they're giving him so much credence.
Right.
We killed him, or I killed him, which damn well we know that was not the case. You know, we killed him, he's gone, now you have nothing to worry
exactly.
about. Get a freaking grip. Are you, like, do other people, other
well,
do, like,
well, they're the firm belief that the only way to kill a snake is to cut its head off. Well, you got to realize this is a snake with many different heads. You just happen to have gotten the ugliest one.
See, this is the problem with this administration.
Well, Osama wasn't the snake. The snake was the extreme beliefs. That's the snake. He was just one little heart in that. He was one little head. And there's all kinds of, you know, other people out there that are just as extreme as he was.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
but he's the one that broke our hearts. That's the whole thing in a nutshell.
To have all these, it's even worse when you have terrorism happening in your own, right here in your own country, like American-bred terrorism.
Right.
That's worse than anything, because now, you know, your own people are infiltrating you.
Well, let me get to the point of what I was saying about this whole deal with Osama bin Laden and the rhetoric of this administration. If the rhetoric of this administration is nothing more than telling people, look, we got Osama bin Laden, if people like symbolism, people are affected by symbolism, and Osama bin Laden had been the symbol of Al-Qaeda for so many years in this country, and by killing him, people gave that sort of dropping their guard sort of approach. And the president wanted that.
Well, they thought that since he killed Osama, since Osama bin Laden was killed, then, you know, that whole Al-Qaeda was only, like, he was the glue of it. Like, everything else had come unglued. So now we're safe.
I believe
he was the structure.
I understand where this is coming from, but I don't believe that President Obama believed that. This is what I believe.
No, I think that the American people because
right.
it's such a symbolic
right.
thing,
exactly.
think that if you don't have that symbolism anymore,
right. what
then
are you going to do?
What are you going to do? How can you,
right.
you know, like there wasn't, like he didn't have a general or...
Right.
You know, some kind of fill-in.
Did you ever think about this? This is, sounds silly, but take movies like... I hate to use this stupid... Drink.
One second. That's like China.
Mm-hmm.
The father, that was, you know, if that was symbolic,
mm-hmm.
he died, right? The president, Kim Jong-il or whatever, he died.
North Korea.
Well, duh. Now his son took over.
Right. But,
and is just as much of a tyrant as his daddy was.
But listen to what I'm saying here. Think about the American people and how they deal with symbolism. You know, we've gone through life watching silly things like movies. You know, I'm a big movie buff, and most people are, you know, like big movie buffs. But, you know, they always tell you in the movie, you know, like, kill the head vampire and everyone else turns back to normal. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of silliness.
Yeah.
The perfect movie to the antithesis of that ideology is to watch the movie Arlington Road. Have you ever heard of this movie?
No.
Okay. It's with Tim Robbins, Joan Cusack, and Jeff Bridges. Brilliant movie. And the movie is about terrorism. And Tim Robbins and Joan Cusack play this terrorist group. And there's a whole bunch of them. And what they do is they use – the whole movie is about how Americans get caught up on one key figure that the press pushes out there and says, like they did, Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden. Then people believe that's the essence of al-Qaeda. He gets killed. And then once he's dead, everybody else feels, oh, they got him. Al-Qaeda doesn't want to bother us anymore because we took down the head. So they're all back to normal now. And then Obama, taking advantage of that sort of ideology, then goes, we killed Osama bin Laden and we've conquered Al-Qaeda.
We conquered our enemy.
Therefore, missing the whole message that's been said over the world, every time you hear people talk about Osama bin Laden in these Arab countries, they say the same thing. You cut off one head and 1,000 more appear.
Yep.
Because the only thing they see is vengeance. And you can't tell a group of people who believe in dying for their cause that once you kill one of theirs, that all of a sudden they're beaten back. This only encourages
escalates them.
You killed one of our own. This now all of a sudden
and the most important, if that's the symbolism
exactly,
you're giving that person,
exactly.
You know, you killed our you killed our God in the, our flesh God,
because
to us he's like, you know, he's God in flesh or whatever. Yeah. So what do you think people are gonna do? Do you think they're just gonna sit back on the bleachers and say, good game, guys. We lost this one. You know, we're retiring from here.
But here's what makes it even more interesting. What the administration has done post to all of that is they then turned around and said, look, we are going to appease these people. Now, people don't like to talk about that when it comes to President Obama, about appeasing these Muslim fundamentalists.
No, because people don't want to talk about that because they think that that's some endearing thing that he's doing. Like, because the media and, you know, everything in the media everywhere is always about horrific things that happen in those other countries. You very rarely see anything that's all over the place that takes precedence over anything that's positive that happens.
Right.
You'll hear, you know, oh, there was a woman's group there, and now they're going to school now, and they won in their little town or whatever, and now they can drive.
Right.
You'll hear about that here and there in pieces. But they make, you know, everything look crazy over there. So then when you have your president, you know, you're watching this, you feel sorry for them. They're killing women all over the place. They're killing kids. You know, innocent people are getting killed because of war, and then their own people are killing each other. There's genocide going on. You have someone who goes over there that you already love, that is this great symbolic thing to you, like President Obama, and is endearing to these people and wants to apologize.
Right.
It's almost like he's convinced American people that it's their fault that this is happening in those countries.
Yes.
Hello?
But he's missing the fact.
That they should bear the cross for what is going on to those people.
What's even scarier about that is that people like this fail to acknowledge that these fundamental extremists have been attacking American interests since as early as 1929. But yet today, we are more arrogant and more problematic for the Muslim world. But I want to get to that point in a little bit, because there's way more to get into about General Petraeus, because I know we're getting a little off subject here. So I want to just make sure that everybody understands. The bottom line is that this president and this administration knows that Benghazi is an issue. It will always be an issue. And right now they're running interference. Why are they running interference? It is because General Petraeus, who everyone is calling an honorable man, everyone is calling one of the greatest leaders in the military, is now all of a sudden no longer going to testify in one of the biggest scandals in maybe a decade that involves the CIA, and probably one of the biggest scandals that is dealing that's going on in this presidency. And now he's gone and will not testify. And that's rare, odd, scary, and weird. So trust me, there is more to this than meets the eye. And I put any amount of money on it.
Yeah. Rock says, well, on Facebook, Rock.
Uh-huh.
First David Petraeus, then Hillary, hints at resigning, starting to look like an awful lot like a bona fide scandal to me.
It's all looking like a scandal.
Well,
it's been
a scandal from the beginning.
It's just that
the shit is getting deeper, boys, so put your damn boots on.
Yeah, of course. Put your tall boots on, for that matter, because it's getting deep and thick. But it's got to happen. It's not over until it's over, and I promise you, if this congressional committee really wants to get to the bottom of this, if they really do, then I would suggest to each and every one of them, no matter what, I would suggest to each and every one of them, make sure that you get a subpoena for General Petraeus to testify. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio. on the radio. We're back 32 minutes after the hour. We're actually getting another story about the General Petraeus, director of the CIA.
An update.
Pretty much an update, saying that congressional leaders, Republican congressional leaders, were looking for General Petraeus to resign in October after his September 14th hearing with congressional leaders about what happened in Benghazi. Now, the interesting part about this is, and I said it earlier, was that General Petraeus is the head of the CIA. This is pretty much the head of the intelligence organization, our head. They know he knew.
The head of our safety crew.
Pretty much. He knew what it was that was taking place in Benghazi. As all the emails that have come out have already revealed, as well as the timeline, within 7 hours, even if that was the latest time that they knew, we do know that emails are suggesting that they knew in 3 hours that this was being carried out by a terrorist group, an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group. And the Central Intelligence Agency knew it. For 3 days to pass by, and that director, General Petraeus, to tell a congressional committee that it was started over a YouTube video is an outright lie. And why the CIA director would say that would put him in harm's way. Because he would have been immediately charged with perjury. This is why I believe that it's a ruse. I believe that they set him up, found out about the affair. By the way, every person who has ever worked for the CIA is saying the same thing. He resigned from the CIA over an affair? The guy said, Mary, I swear to you, the guy said, in the CIA or in the Central Intelligence business, if you're not having an affair, you're not a player in the Central Intelligence Agency. So it's commonplace. These guys do a lot of things when they're involved with other women. They get information. You know, this is not someplace
like that's a part of your job.
Well, I'm just saying, this is not a bastion of morality. Intelligence, you got to get it any way you get it. You got to lie, cheat, and steal to get intelligence if you have to. There's no way that the CIA director turns around and says, I had an affair, time for me to go. I mean, come on. It seems too cookie cutter for
them. Oh, it is. We know that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a phone call.
They held on to this.
Let's take a phone call and get your opinions. Let's find out what a couple of you have to say. The number is 347-308-8701. On the line with us now, Magneto from Richmond, Virginia. How are you, Magneto?
I'm doing okay. Just trying to do my best, you know, whatever I do, you know.
All right. Do you, you have a comment or a position on this?
Yes, I have a position. Man, you never spoken on what betrayals knew. Did you?
Well, I think I did, sir. I said that Petraeus is the Central Intelligence Agency director. It was known from emails that have been obtained by several news sources that they knew it was a terrorist group within 3 hours of the attack. And in 7 hours into the attack, when Ambassador Stevens was at the hospital after he had died, that troops could not get to the hospital because it was surrounded by this terrorist group that had it on guard.
Okay.
That's the reason why they couldn't retrieve his body until the next day.
Okay, I got that. Now, do you know who the task forces was? That's my question.
What are you talking about? The terrorist group?
Yes.
Okay, the terrorist group announced itself on Facebook. And I know I'm going to forget the name, but it's Al-Alaw Shawar, some junk like that. I always forget how to pronounce
it. Okay. I'm going to tell you who it was. You know who it was?
Who was it?
It was the IDF and the United Emirate Arabs.
You believe that it was the United Arab Emirates that carried out this terrorist attack?
The UAEB, I don't think
them,
so.
Them,
the United Arab Emirates.
Them and Israel go hand in hand. They partners in crime all the way down the line. You can go back.
Really? Wait. So you're saying that Israel attacked one of an American consulate in Benghazi, in a hotbed, Libya, where, hold on, now you do know this, right? August 15th, there was an attack on the embassy on August 15th?
Yes.
On the compound? To,
yeah.
also carried out by the same group. They blew a hole in one of the in one of the entrances that fit about 40 people. There had been several attacks before the September 11th attacks. This is a an Al-Qaeda stronghold, the areas around them. That there were
Now, who created Al-Qaeda? Who created them?
The Mujahideen.
No.
Whoa.
No.
Who did?
Israel.
No, they
the Mossad. The Mossad.
No, they didn't.
Look, I'm going to say this. You cannot talk about none of this without leaving out Israel and the Mossad. If you leave them out, everything will stay confused to you.
Wait. So you're saying that Israel is the reason why this happened in Benghazi?
That's why they went at your boy Petraeus.
So I want to make this clear, just so I understand. You've got Jordan, Syria, Turkey, Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, all of those areas surrounding Israel. They all want to wipe Israel off the map. But yet Israel was able to carry out an assassination of a UN ambassador inside a terrorist nation.
Man, Israel, the Mossad do anything they want to, when they want to.
No. You didn't answer my question. You can sit up here and say they can do whatever they want to.
Yeah.
I've heard that line before. They can do whatever they want to. Really?
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want to?
Yes.
So why wouldn't the American government be responsible for his death?
I heard it, but I didn't fully understand.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Yeah, thank you for the name. It's Ansar al-Sharia. Thank you. That's the name of the terrorist group. You're telling me that Israel infiltrated a terrorist group and got them to kill the U.S. ambassador, and your answer to how that's possible is
no.
They can do anything they want.
They didn't infiltrate anything. They ran the whole thing. Now, you go back to Operation Gladio, where Gaddafi was hooked up with. You go back to who put him into power and track his name back. Things are all, you'll put the puzzle together.
Wait. Hold on. Are you now saying that Gaddafi is involved with Israel?
Yes.
Really? So I want to wait. Megatron. Before you continue, I just want to make sure I get this.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I get this clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Gaddafi was best friends with Louis Farrakhan, who is a known anti-Semite, and you believe that Muammar Gaddafi was double dipping with the Jews?
Yes. Look, let me ask you a question. Who do you think over there pumping his oil up out of the ground?
Whom?
George Bush.
Oh. Megatron.
They don't have the technology to get that oil up out of the ground like that.
Who doesn't?
Gaddafi
Libya?
Don't.
Gaddafi don't.
Yes.
But
yes.
What do you think they are? The 18th century country?
Hey, look.
Wait. Hold on. Is there a McDonald's in Libya?
Do you know what it takes to get oil up out of the ground?
Is there a McDonald's in Libya?
I don't know.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
But that don't mean nothing.
Have you ever been to Tripoli? Have you ever been to Tripoli? Have you ever been there?
I've been to Egypt.
Oh, you went to Egypt. Really? What about Egypt? Because that's their neighbor. What's Egypt look like? Is Egypt a third world country too?
Well,
how about Cairo?
Well, I'm going to tell you what was wrong with Cairo. They didn't have no jobs because they didn't take on to the Zionist agenda of eating their own babies, so they won't get in no industry like China and Bangladesh and all these other countries that's eating their babies under the Zionist agenda.
So this is so you're saying that the first ambassador killed in 38 years is because of George W. Bush. He's still pinning that on him, not because of the negligence and the ill-conceived notion that our U.S. ambassador wasn't in danger, even though he was sending cables to the to the State Department, saying that he didn't believe that they were safe in Benghazi. That means nothing. Still Bush's fault.
Look, all right. The SS Liberty, you know about that, right?
About what?
The USS Liberty.
Yes, the USS Liberty. What about it?
Who did that?
No, wrong one. Are you talking about the attack in Yemen in 2000?
No, I'm talking about the attack on the USS Liberty, the battleship over there, in the Middle East.
Again, U.S. battleship attacked in Yemen happened in 2000 during the Clinton administration.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one that happened in 1967.
Oh, okay. So, all right, 67. Was that Bush's fault, too?
No, I'm not saying no. I'm saying that Israel did that and tried to blame it on the Arabs, Egypt. And who started World War One? Who started World War Two?
The Jews?
Yes.
Really? So the assassination, hold on, the assassination of Ferdinand, starting World War One, had to do with the Jews, and Hitler trying to eradicate Jews in Germany was the Jews' fault, too.
Well, I don't know, man. Until you go back and study your history about these people.
You didn't even know that I knew.
Wait. Hold on. Sir, I promise you, if you plan to come on here and talk about history and battle history, this man right here knows.
Do you know?
Give you dates, times, and everything.
Megatron, let me break something down to you. Do you know why Ferdinand died?
Well, it's been a while since I had that lesson.
You want to know why Ferdinand died? I'll break it down to you. Ferdinand died. Here's why. It's real simple. When Ferdinand was shot and killed, do you know that the bullet that hit him, when he was shot, he would have survived. But you know what the technicality was that kept him from living?
What?
The clothing that he was wearing is sewn onto his body. That's where each and every one of them had to dress. Each and every one of their clothing was actually tailored onto their body. In other words, you're standing there, every outfit that they were wearing was sewn on to their body. So when he was shot, the doctors were trying to get to the bullet wound.
Hold on for 1 second. I got to help.
Hold on.
Call.
So tight that they couldn't get it off him in time to treat the wound. And he died before they can get to it. So he actually would have survived had it not been for the tradition of how they wear their clothes. You never knew that.
I think he said, hold on, because he clicked over and answered the phone.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Did you know that about Ferdinand?
Okay,
even I know that story.
Sal, I apologize for keeping you on.
Dennis. Dennis, I thought Sal was in. Sal's already gone. Dennis!
Well, after listening to that, I'm almost speechless. Almost.
I don't think that could ever happen to you, Dennis.
No, I wasn't going to call anymore for other reasons, but I'll give you a break now. I'm going to give you two quick things off topic, and then I'm going to go back to something that
Dennis,
I know.
You weren't going to call anymore?
No.
Why?
I'll discuss that off air. Anyway, today is 23 Jahre. 23 years ago today, the Berlin Wall fell. A great day for us. And I'm older than you, Reese. You were only a little kid during Watergate, so you wouldn't remember. I worked for Richard Nixon's reelection, and the Democrats actually gave me a tour of Watergate in October of 72. They thought I was one of them. So they took me through the entire office complex where everything happened. And I know people in the company, too. What you're referring to is a honey trap. a honey trap everybody uses in the craft.
Right.
You know, either KGB, KGB, CIA, DIA. A honey trap is used. No one is going to resign because of that. No.
Right, exactly. And you're talking
but
about
the point
trait.
I'm trying to say is nobody died in Watergate. It wasn't the crime. It was the cover-up.
That's right.
Now, this is what's going to happen. This is the scenario that's going to happen, I think. If and when all the crap that's coming out, you have a hell of a lot of Democrats up for re-election in 2 years in the Senate.
Right.
And you have a lot of patriotic Democrats in the electorate. That once they, now that we've gone post-Obama, he's a lame duck. It's going to be a long lame duck session, 4 years, but he's still a lame duck. What have they got to lose? Now, impeachment is not conviction.
That's correct.
You have to get the conviction also. Right now, Obama's insurance policy is like Nixon's. Nixon had Agnew. Obama has Joe Biden. Now, Biden, close. Biden is what, 72?
Yeah.
How many times is he going to be coming down for breakfast, given his age?
So,
you know? So the scenario is within 4 years, I think you're going to see an impeachment. If all this is true, all this crap comes out with Benghazi and Petraeus, et cetera, because you can't keep anything in Washington quiet. You just can't. You will see the House impeach, and you will see the pressure, serious, very heavy pressure on the Senate to convict.
Oh, of course. And the bitterness, I believe, with this these congressional hearings, the Republicans who really feel as if they've been slighted, if you will, throughout this election.
You got it.
Yeah, this election, I think, for them, they smell blood. They
not
smell
only that,
blood.
What have the Democrats been bitching about the past 4 years, the ones on the Hill? Their main complaint of their president is they've ignored, and he doesn't build up a consensus. He acts the way he wants. Given that Harry Truman said, if you want a friend in this town, get yourself a dog, do you think they're going to stay with him? No. Because everyone's looking for the 2016 prize. Who can be the hero for our soldiers and unite the Democrats and the Republicans together, if they're a Democrat, and say, you know, vote for me for president 2016. Already they're heading up to Iowa.
So you believe just and I'm, this is what I believe, honestly, because I think that you're saying the same thing, is that what you see is sort of rats on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you here, because Hillary Clinton had always hinted that she wasn't going to stay on longer than this term. Eric Holder has never given that impression until now, after the election, and after he had been after the contempt order that came down from Congress. Now he's talking about resigning with all of that in play. And now you've got Panetta, who's going to have to leave, and he's talking about leaving. Geithner is talking about leaving. Now, they've done their work, and I believe that this is just rats on a Titanic. They're just running for cover and trying to save their political lives.
This could be the greatest hidden victory the Republicans had. You might not believe it when we lost. Because
he gets to
then Romney will not go down as another Hoover, but Barack Obama will, the Hoover of the Democrat Party. And who the hell are they going to blame when everything starts crashing down? As it will.
Well, even if they do blame the Republicans, if it's exposed, because right now, the Petraeus scandal right now has one key element that will help the media finally cover this story, is that the Senate hearings are coming Thursday. And the one thing the press loves more than anything, they can't avoid it,
They are
good scandal.
Like flies.
Because it has legs and it keeps them going.
Right. Is a sex scandal. They love an affair in Washington. And they
but be careful what you wish for, folks, what you want your sex scandal, because you might uncover a few things you didn't want to know.
Exactly. Now,
but then
it'll
be too late.
I'm going to bring Megatron back in because I know you had to take another call. You appear to be confused about this discussion about General Petraeus and the attack on Benghazi. And let me ask you this, Megatron. If the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, the UN Ambassador, and the Director of the CIA all come out and say that this was a result of a YouTube video, and then weeks later, now some 8 weeks later, we now know that the video had nothing to do with four Americans being killed, I ask you, do you really think that this is the Jews?
No.
Can you hear me, Megatron?
Oh, yes, I'm listening. I would try to do something else. Yes.
That's okay. So, again, like I said, for weeks, the president, the secretary of state, the, director of the CIA, and the UN ambassador all say that this was a result of a YouTube video.
Eight weeks later,
we find out it's got nothing to do with the YouTube video. How is this related to the Jews?
What YouTube video are you talking about?
Okay.
When they smashed down?
The President of the United States.
No, hold on. You don't have to go through all that. The YouTube video that we're speaking about is the YouTube video that was blamed for the attacks in Benghazi, the reason why our U.S. ambassador, the first U.S. ambassador in 38 years of history, has ever been killed.
Oh, okay, that one. I didn't see that one. I thought you were talking about the YouTube clip where over 400 U.S. troops was killed by snipers, and the IDF put it up like the Muslims did it. Now,
where do you get your news from, Megatron? If I may ask, what is your news source?
Okay, I tell you, go to Gordon Duff, Veterans Today.
Well, no. I'm saying,
what is
Gordon Duff?
Gordon.
It's called Veterans Today?
Yes.
Well, what's your primary news source? Like, where do you get most of your news when you check
right
out the news?
For right there.
You don't go anywhere else?
Because, see, anything outside of that, you're getting Israel filtered down information.
I'm going to ask you a question. You really sound like, you know, you almost have this maybe possibly a personal vendetta against Israelis. What do you have a problem with them? I mean, did something happen to you? Were you in it? You know, were you in the?
I see what you said. Let me say this. I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?
Okay, I was raised Catholic. I do believe in God. However, I'm not down with, organized religion. I have my own personal relationship with God, and that's good for me. And I say God is a higher being because I don't know. I haven't seen. I don't necessarily follow anything.
Gotcha.
I'm a good
gotcha.
Morally
gotcha.
Christian person, but,
you
know,
about,
I'm not a practicing Christian.
I want to ask you a question. Do you know about the bombing the same day they attacked the Twin Towers? Do you know about the bombing they had to try to blow up the George Washington Bridge?
Yeah, well, hold on. What about the George Washington Bridge? You mean the Lincoln Tunnel? There was a plot to take out the Lincoln Tunnel.
I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about the George Washington Bridge. It was two young white boys in a van with the Twin Towers on the side of the van with the plane flying into it. That was on the side of it. And it was over. This happened in broad day, like a whole mess of people.
What day was this? What year was
same,
this?
The same day the attack went.
There was no report of the George Washington Bridge under attack.
No, I don't remember that. I've never, no, Megatron. Wait, I'm sorry. What was the name of that website? Because I'm trying to visit that website now that you get your news sources from.
Okay, my name is Khufu, Usil, Magneto, Magneto.
Oh, I'm sorry, Magneto. Okay,
yes.
I do apologize, Magneto. What was the news source that you used? Because I do want to check out that website.
Veterans Today. And if you look at this site real good, it's Mr. Gordon Duff is a conglomerate of writers. He have a conglomerate of writers.
No, Veterans Today. Okay, I'm going to check it out. So you get your news from Veterans Today. So
yes,
can you tell me, are you a veteran?
No. Well, that's another story that where the website started up for veterans. A program for veterans, and to start going into other areas, to where it at today. Now, when you go to that website, I'm gonna ask you the question: Why the Republicans didn't steal this election?
Okay,
you can see it on the website.
Hold on one second. Let's get to Sally D because I know he wants to chime in about this Petraeus thing. Hey, Sal, sorry to keep you on hold for so long.
Is this the Rod Showing Fan Club show? What is going on here?
I'm sorry. What was that, Sal?
Is this the Rod Serling Fan Club show? Seriously, what is going on? Is this the Outer Limits? Is this a spoof show? I mean, this, you know, Magneto, I love the movies too, but come on, man. That's not your name.
I think it's Magneto.
Magneto is what he's called.
Magneto. I'm sorry, sir. I'm not being disrespectful, but I don't even remember what you said. Because I'm so in tune with trying to find this website. I found it, but it's kind of like a Twitter site, and I can only see like little posts here and there.
I'm
trying to find the history of it.
I
can look for one thing up,
Sal, say again.
The movie Arlington Road, you brought it up before. And one of the key points about that movie that I loved was that there was another key piece in that they radicalized the Jeff Bridges character. And this is exactly what's going on. This is the same thing that was going on when they started calling people who questioned the birth certificate birthers. When you radicalize somebody that raises a question, you immediately turn it into UFO type stuff. It's the same thing with you know, the whole UFO phenomenon in the 50s. The Air Force has released documents now that they outwardly admit that they created a propaganda kind of response to a lot of this stuff to make it sound so outrageous that, you know, wouldn't have to defend the real stuff. This is exactly what's going on.
You know what's interesting? The Arlington Road movie, what I found so compelling about that and why I paid so much attention to this movie was when the whole idea was that Jeff Bridges' character was telling his students about how the media and how we as people centralize that figure, make them into a broader thing, in essence to say we pinpoint a target as a people, say that's him, but yet we forget about the players around the situation, all the little intricate players around that. And then in the midst of all of that, Tim Robbins and Joan Cusack's character do exactly to him what it is that he says that we do in our media. I love the last line in that movie, which is the news report talking about Jeff Bridges' character as about how he went there and blew up the place because he was upset about his wife who had been murdered in that FBI sting and, you know, that whole bit. And they turned it right on him. And they knew he was a prime suspect. Like, he was the prime person to use in that event. That's exactly what it is that's going on in this administration. It's a big bait and switch.
But, you know, the reality is, and this is the thing that I've always felt, and this is where I might agree with Magneto. The reality is that this has been going on for years. That movie was inspired by the Randy Weaver incident. Do you remember that years ago, the white supremacist and his family that were murdered on their property by the federals? Do you remember that?
I do.
So
wait, isn't that, wait a minute, there's a name for it. It's called Ruby Ridge.
Yep. You know, these kind of things happen, and then you have to wonder, you know, and a lot of people don't wonder, but you should always question how much is actually true. I'm not talking about the Randy Weaver issue now. I'm just saying in general about when you're fed a story by the government, you must always question how much of it is actually true, because the agenda is behind the message. And in this case, the agenda is Preyas resigns. He can still be subpoenaed, but he cannot be subpoenaed to speak to classified information.
This is true.
And that takes the teeth of the entire investigation.
That's true. That's true. That's right. He can't speak to classified information because now he's a private citizen.
Right. He's read out. Once you read out, he cannot be held accountable for anything, regardless of what he knows. He can't speak to it. And so this is a genius move. But it's also, I posted this. I would not be surprised if this whole thing is made up. That he went to his wife and said, look, we've got to do this thing. And here's how it's going to play out. And this woman's part of the ruse. I would not be shocked. Because
I'm not sure.
You remember Colonel David Hunt came forward a couple months ago and said he had information that someone had mentioned to him that Hillary Clinton's signature was on some document that would tie her to Benghazi.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of died down, and that's awesome. But at the end of the day, you really have to see the forest and the trees on this one. If it ever comes out, it ever truly makes, I don't know if this will ever be a Watergate, because I think people will just lie under oath these days, whereas years ago, they actually were sure of it.
Reese?
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
Now, the thing about the Israelis and the explosive truck. There was a truck, but that the rest of it was all blown up. There was nothing, there was nothing in the truck, and everything was mostly rumor. It was debunked.
Right.
Now, talking about a hearing.
No. That was
listen to me. There's no way Megatron.
It's right here. Megatron, it says it right here on your own website. Let me read it for you. CBS News reported a truckload of explosives, and CNN reported a ton of explosives in a van stopped near the George Washington Bridge with three men arrested and in custody. Later, CNN ran a press conference with Mayor Rudolph Giuliani and Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, in which Carrick denied that any explosives were found. All three news videos can be seen at the very bottom of this page.
Yep. Now, the other thing, we're talking about an investigation. Remember, there's always the public hearing and the private hearing. The private hearing can delve into classified, and it would be very unusual for anything else to be divulged, but those things happen. There's nothing that says
he assert his Fifth Amendment privilege, though, Dennis? Couldn't he assert his Fifth Amendment?
They can give him immunity.
But there are other people that are still sworn in that would have to speak to us.
There's a lot of DDOs.
Right. Right.
Deputy Director of Operations, Deputy Director of CIA, et cetera, et cetera. And, also the committee can also give immunity in saying you have to tell us everything in closed hearing.
Right.
Otherwise, then you're on the hook.
Yeah,
so it doesn't have to be public.
Well, what would the indictment?
Yeah, you know what ends up happening there is that you're only on the hook with the government itself, the very government that's trying to protect you.
Well, you can be always held in contempt of Congress, too.
This is true. Exactly. Hey,
now I'm speaking just to the Republican House. When I'm saying this. Damn it, I got a lot of static.
Read there.
Just for the Republican House.
Yeah, go ahead, Sal.
No, I agree with Dennis on that one. But again, the buck always stops at the top, and he will be protected.
If these hearings happen next Thursday, and this is the way that I'm looking at this, we got 54 days before the debt ceiling collapses, right? If the Republicans really, really, if they are licking their chops about Benghazi, I am holding out all hope for next Thursday. Here's what it is that I really think is going to happen. And I believe this wholeheartedly. I'm banking on it. Six hearings and one public hearing before this debt ceiling crisis, I think they're going to have the president by the balls.
No.
And when they have him, if they have him by the balls, where this goes all the way up to the White House, and if any of those stories about the White House watching that Benghazi attack in real time inside the Situation Room, this president is going to have to decide on whether or not he wants to fulfill his agenda or fulfill his term as president.
Can I say something?
Sure can, Megatron. Go ahead.
Okay. No. Magneto.
Oh, sorry. Magneto.
Who's Megatron?
Yes.
Why don't I call him Megatron? Magneto, my bad.
The problem, this is why Obama going through all of what he's going through, because he's saying enough is enough with you, Israel. Enough. Now, have you heard about how Martin Dempsey bitch slapped Netanyahu at his office? Have you heard that? Have you heard about how they tried to kill him in Afghanistan?
Wait.
Wait a minute.
I thought so. Give me a break.
Yes, he bitch slapped him.
I just want to say something to Magneto. You have a very magnetic personality, but a lot of what you're saying is so out there. It's really hard for people to know if you're pulling one over on us, if you're being serious.
See, that's one thing, but the truth. When you stand up to Israel, this is what you get.
Magneto, is this the April 1st show or is this the 9 November show? I wasn't sure.
This is why we get ready to go into World War III if we're not careful of how we business Israel.
They're all over the place. It's
Turkey ready to back them down.
Sounds like a Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking Magneto is either... he's taking something or
he's having a few levels of something.
Yeah, wait a minute, hold on.
Levels of something on this station.
Are you a Magneto?
Yes.
Are you a 9/11 truther?
I'm not none of that.
Do you know what a 9/11 truther is?
Come on, man.
What? A 9/11 truther believes that 9/11 was an inside job.
Look.
Do you believe it was an inside job?
The Mossad did it.
You're talking about the Jews?
Yes.
Okay, can I ask you this? Do you believe that there were no Jews in the World Trade Center on September
11, 2001? Well, I don't care whether some was in there or not.
It's not what I asked you, sir. It's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you believe that no Jews came to work that day?
Some might have been in that, but I heard the same thing what you just said.
Oh, you heard that. Do you believe it?
I heard what everybody else heard.
Do you believe that World Trade Center number 7 was imploded by explosives by the American government?
Well, that was Silverstein building. I don't know who did that, but it came down.
What towers were Silverstein's buildings, man? What are you talking about?
Alex, I have a question for Magneto. Just one.
Yes.
What is your opinion of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan?
Great question, Dennis.
Answer the question.
Antworte
die Frage. Mein Herr, antworte die Frage. I said, answer the question.
You shouldn't be afraid of
that. Die Frage.
He was a fraud. He was a fraud, okay?
Who? You said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a fraud?
Yes.
Minister Farrakhan?
You said Minister Farrakhan.
Farrakhan is a fraud, too.
I was just wondering if they had influenced you in your anti-Israeli feelings. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question. But you appear to be very anti-Semitic.
No. It's reality. It's look. We know about World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, how they gave up.
Are you anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist?
Hold up. We know how they gave up military positions and our boys was walking into ambushes. We know all about that.
Whom?
All about
that. Let me ask Magneto a question, because, I mean, he says some things that may be some relevance to what he's saying. Magneto, honestly, I want to know this. I'm curious for years. Do you think the white man was behind Milli Vanilli's demise?
Y'all know joke. That's it. Hey, if these are a bunch of white guys, Hey, Reese, I thought you was a black guy.
What's that got to do with a bunch of white guys on my show? What's that got to do with anything?
I mean, hold on, man. I mean, who is you for real?
Oh, you want to know who is I?
What are you?
No.
Are you a Christian?
He's Chinese. From Peking.
Magneto, my Christian?
Hey.
No, I won't answer the questions. Magneto, what would you like to know about me? Am I a Christian?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, why you think, what you think about Israel? Another question.
What do I believe about Israel?
Yeah.
I believe that Israel is our, how do I put it? Israel is our ally in the region of tumult and division and fundamentalists who are out to destroy it, and it's our duty, our sworn duty, to protect it.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Have you heard about the 16 intelligence agencies who did a fact-finding paper on Israel and the Mossad, the NSA, reconnaissance organizations, you name it. I'm talking, they have a budget of over $70 billion.
Oh,
now,
I did not hear about
so
that.
Reese, I want to say something to what he just – he's actually right. The Israelis are known – to be one of the worst counterintelligence nations that we, you know, including our enemies, Israel is known to try and gather intelligence against, not so much against us, but just so that they always want that upper hand and they want to know where we stand and they want to know what's going on. They're notorious for it. So he's right on that one.
Jonathan,
I have a question for Magneto, if you don't mind. Another one. Where do you see the Vatican in all this?
Well, see, that's where the Bible came in at. The Vatican and the Jews. And I'm going to tell you where the Jews outslicked the Vatican when they put Jesus in the Bible as a Jew in St. John chapter 5.
I heard Tom Hanks say this as well, so I think there may be some validity to this.
No, but...
Stop it, Sal. Hold on.
We know what Israel did. We know what Israel did with this Jonathan Pollard.
I've got another call.
I know what Israel did with the USS Liberty in 1967, and that never has been answered to my satisfaction.
Let me take another call, guys. The number is 347-308-8701. Let's go to Poverty Supreme, calling from the old UK.
Yes.
The whole world.
Yes, brothers. You know, I like to see you talking about this. I'm going to have a show on tomorrow, and I would like to see Jay, because we're going to be talking about again. So, I'm liking the dialogue that you are coming with so far, you know what I mean? So, I'm just going to sit back. You'll have to mute like, myself, but I'm sitting. I had a few questions, but I always want you to go in and maybe finish what you're talking about. You know, it's a good information that I mean.
Poverty Supreme, I'm hearing bits and pieces into what you're saying because you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, can you hear me better?
So what I'd like you to do is probably move back from the microphone, not a lot, just a little bit, because maybe that's sort of the from where you're calling from, or maybe the device you're using is creating a little bit of sort of disturbance. So give me a quick mic check, like a little 1, 2, 3, 4 real quick.
Hello?
Come a little closer.
Hello?
That's perfect.
Okay.
So what was your question?
No. My question was, who China got power last time? know, why didn't anyone give her a chance, Sarah McKinney?
I still can't hear you, Poverty Supreme. I'm sorry. Are you calling from a phone or are you calling from another microphone? What are you calling from?
I'm calling from Skype.
Oh, it's your Skype service. Then you know what you need to do? You need to turn down the volume on Skype. If you go to Skype, you can turn down the actual the microphone volume on Skype, and you'll actually come out a little clearer. I'm going to have JC work it out with you right now. Okay? So stay on the line right now. JC is going to work it out with you real quick. All right. There we go. Anyway. So, okay. Guys, I'm going to take a break real quick. Give me a couple of minutes. I will be right back with Reese on the Radio. We actually went long. We were supposed to go into the top of the hour. We never, ever did it. We will be back shortly. Stick around. And, let me see what I got here. What do I have here? I need something considerably. We'll play this. Nope, not that one. Sorry. Hold on. I apologize. I just need to find where the heck the darn song is. And, of course, I can't find it. All right. Okay, here we go. We'll be right back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Why white collar. Suckers can't do me nada. Been in a lot of situations, made it hotter. Homie, but we gotta live it, got the fodder. Give it, then I get it, spit it, make it proper. It's alright, plus my mic sound nice. Flip it, be specific, step your dice. We fly on a gamble, try, learn to handle. Ways of the days of life, fade the candle. And flicker, sticker, black, bring the cup back. Before we lose track of where we at.
Reset the Radio, we're back. It's 23 minutes after the hour. I'm probably going to have to take another break if they got a small little situation. Well, it's a big situation, but if it persists, I may have to take a break early. Sorry, guys. Yeah, we've kind of been all over the place. There's plenty of news that I wanted to get in today, and I will get into them before we get out of here. So I want to try Poverty Supreme in London, again, who's calling all the way over the pond. Did we work out your audio problems yet, Poverty?
Well, your guy on the desk on the switchboard, he says so now. So, can you hear me properly now?
I can hear you a lot better now. You said you had a question?
Yeah, I had a question. I was hello to you and Magneto. Is Magneto still alive?
No, it's still breaking up really, really bad.
It's still really, really bad.
I'm getting you intermittent sort of, you know, in and out. And I know you're asking me a question, but I just can't hear what it is.
Okay. I'm gonna have to go and come back again.
Okay, so, well, please, you know, try to time. We'd love to have you on. We just need to work out your audio problems. But we'll have you on anytime that you call up. We appreciate it. For now, I guess you could listen in, or unless if you want to hang up, we totally understand. But we'll work them out, or JC will try to work out the problems with you and see if we can get you back on, because we'd love to talk to you, man. You're all the way overseas, man. I'd love to hear what the press is sounds like, or at least what the press reads like over in your country. So we'll have you back on. Anyway, a couple of other news items that I wanted to get into yesterday that I didn't get into, and we will get back to our discussion. But let me get back to the news items. In Walton, Kentucky, the city council candidate Bobby McDonald was running for election there in Walton, Kentucky, and did not win the vote. He ended up in a virtual tie. He ended up in a tie in the race. What would have taken him over the top with that one vote would have been somebody near and dear to him, his wife. Turns out that his wife did not go to the polls because she works nights, and she overslept, missed polling. He said pretty much, don't worry about it. You know, he was, you know, wasn't concerned that her vote was really that much going to count, but she didn't get to the polls. They waited for the result to come up, and the results realized that he and his, his opponent were both dead even, and now the election will be voted by tossing a coin. That completely sucks. Porn producers have vowed that they're going to leave Los Angeles after a ballot initiative passed to make actors wear condoms in their films. Okay, I've got one thing to say about this that makes absolutely no sense. I know people won't get it, but when you have a ballot initiative where people in the country or in that state say that they are voting for what actors do in an industry that normally none of us would be a part of, you tell people how it is that they do their business. I want you to think about this. Now, are they saying that they want them to wear condoms because they want them to be safe because they're concerned about people in the porn industry? Or is there the latter? What it is that I believe? What I believe is there are people out there who think that they're actually going to end up sleeping with a porn star. And that's why I believe that they were trying to protect themselves in the event that that might happen. Well, we all have dreams. But in California, you never, ever know what's going to happen. That's just me. So far, those are the two stories that have been baffling me since yesterday, and I wanted to bring them up just to talk about it. But again, back to our main story. The FBI has investigated emails of CIA Director General David Petraeus. In those emails, they found something that appeared to be shady, and it turns out that an affair with Paula Broadwell, his biographer, was taking place. No one is certain when exactly the affair took place, but they're saying that the FBI figured it out, and General Petraeus on Thursday walked into the White House, talked to the President of the United States, saying that he wished to resign. The President then waited one full day and decided to accept his resignation today. In accepting his resignation, this all now takes General Petraeus out of the investigation into Benghazi, which was supposed to take place on Thursday. Whether or not the President of the United States will actually be called to testify, we don't know, but we'll find out after the secret testimony or the closed hearings actually take place. This is not unheard of. Many of you remember the Iran-Contra scandal, where President Ronald Reagan was called to speak in front of the Senate committee. What will happen? No one knows. But everyone is speculating that this story has just been spun completely out of control. Where it will end up, I don't know.
I've got a question for you.
Go for it.
And I thought you'd take a look at it. I thought I sent you the link, but I don't know if I did or not.
No, I didn't see it.
Did you check out the story on U.S. Border Patrol agent Nicholas J. Ivey?
No. What's that story about?
I guess he had a Border Patrol agent that was killed on, I believe it was October 2nd. And he just got back his autopsy report that shows that he was, there was a strong indication that he was killed accidentally involved in friendly fire with another Border Patrol agent.
Oh, I think I do know this story.
But
there was
speculation that he might have been killed by the Mexican cartel.
Now there's new speculation saying that that the Mexican cartel may have been responsible for his death?
Right. I was reading that somewhere on Facebook today, and it just brought me back to the whole Fast and Furious scandal, which was seemed to be swept under the rug. Now, if they only found U.S. issued bullet shells, why couldn't have come from the cartel? I mean, they've got our guns.
Very true. Yeah, how would we be able to determine friendly fire from the cartel's weapons when we damn well know that the cartels are using American-issued weapons?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Right, it's extremely convoluted. I knew there was one last story I wanted to get into, and I apologize for going backwards here. Folks, this can't be a news story, but it is, according to the New York Post, that there is a liquor drought that looms in New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy floods a distributor's warehouse. Now, apparently, according to the story, a news reporter went out to the distillery or the liquor store out in New Jersey and watched a bunch of – it's best that I just read the story to you before we get back into Petraeus' thing. Floodwaters from the massive hurricane smashed a New Jersey liquor distributor, causing tens of millions of dollars in damage to its supply of shop's top-shelf alcohol, the company said. Yesterday, a sad mix of liquor and slush puddled onto the ground outside Fenway Associates Inc.'s warehouse in Kearney, where the smell of red wine hung in the air as workers piled boxes and broken glass onto an 8-foot-tall mountain. The devastated deluge smashed bottles of pricey libations such as Grey Goose vodka and Cristal champagne, leaving a river of booze pouring into a pile of soggy cardboard. Hurricane Sandy dealt a near knockout blow to our South Kearney facility last week, Fedway's president said. Our office building, warehouses, buildings were hit with a 10-foot tidal surge. As a result, our infrastructure and inventories were severely compromised. And that's what they're saying, that all of their liquor has been completely compromised. And it's been, and the title of it is called a liquor drought. Now, why would this be a concern to the people who have no food, no water, no shelter, and can't eat in the New Jersey area? They're freezing to death. But it's important for us to talk about whether or not they're going to have any liquor, as if to suggest that they should drink away their ales. Absolutely insane. Dennis, what say you?
I'll drink to that. Sal would want me to take my hat off. I mean, you know, but I'm not going to do that. I have a question, and this is
sure.
A serious one for the guys or anyone else. If Romney was elected, does anyone honestly think all this Petraeus crap would have come out? Do you think he would have been resigning?
You're probably
even if it was found that he was fooling around with somebody. Even if he was doing it on Fifth Avenue, it brought daylight in July 4th.
Right. You know,
do you think then it would have made a difference? You follow the money, literally. Where is it going? Who does it benefit for him to resign or not?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing you said about the whole, you know, what was said about the fact that he would not be able to give classified information as a civilian. I mean, that would compromise intelligence. In a private hearing or a secret hearing, for that matter, that may not be the case. But the
because
bottom
everybody
line,
has clearance.
Right, but in the bottom
the chairman
line,
of the committees, if it's the chairman of the committee, you know he's got maybe just a tiny hair under what the president knows. Because how else can they determine the budget for CIA and other like agencies?
I exactly hear you. Guys, unfortunately, I'm going to have to end early tonight. I've got a slight emergency here at the home, and it is family-related, and I'm going to have to take care of that. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to finish the show, but I want everybody to have a perfect weekend if you can, and I will promise I will talk to you folks on Monday. We will be back then, same bat time, same bat channel. Here's an oldie but goodie.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Anna Bomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He black, he black, he black. He black, he black, he black. Yes, I said it. I said it again. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you're looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. Ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my 7 children, all 7 of my children are going to get some health care now. Showing up, sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill. So, anywho, that's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. Because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Uh-huh, now, yes, I can get sick now. So y'all keep going to work, making all that money, because your taxes is helping me and my chillings. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.